Okay, Chizkuni Matos Masei. So the parsha Matos starts off with discussing the dinim of a wife who makes a neder, or a girl who makes a neder. So just generally speaking, the Chizkuni tells you the difference between a neder and a shvua. A neder, the way he describes it, is a neder is noder b'chaye hamelech, and a shvua is nishba b'melech atzmo. It's not his own words, it's the words of the Sifri. But someone who makes a neder, it's as if they're swearing by the life of the king, and someone who makes a shvua, it's as if they're swearing by the king himself. So what that means is that when you make a neder, you're saying that the thing that you're assuring, that you're forbidding on yourself, should be assur like a karban. So that's not talking about Hashem himself. If you make a shvua, you swear in the name of Hashem. So if you're swearing in the name of Hashem, so then you're swearing by the king himself. A neder, you're not swearing by the king himself. You're swearing that this thing should be on you like a karban, and a karban is, you know, for Hashem. So it's different. It's like swearing in something outside the king, like the life of the king, something connected, but not the king itself. As opposed to shvua, is by the king himself. Okay. Anyway, it says later on that if a husband is not made for his wife's neder in time, but he's made for it anyway, meaning he says that she makes a neder, a week later he decides, okay, I've decided to be made for it. And then she violates her neder, and of course he cannot be made for it a week later, he's got a day. But so if he was made for it too late, then she doesn't know better. So it says, v'nasa savona, he gets her avera. So the Chizkuni just says, why? Because she's an honest, it's not her fault, she doesn't know better, and it wasn't her responsibility to know better. Because it sounds like she doesn't know the mitzvah Talmud Torah, which you would think she would for her halachos. I don't know, but it says, that's what he says, she was not responsible for learning. He should have learned. Meaning, made a mistake, even if he didn't know better, both of them didn't know better, but he should have known better, because this is responsibility to learn, not hers, and that's why he gets her avera. Okay, then we have the taking vengeance against the Minyanim. And so Hashem tells Moshe, Nekom nikmas b'nei Yisrael meisa Minyanim. So the Chizkuni says that sounds like Moshe himself should do it. But he brings that Moshe did not do it himself because he grew up in Midian. It would not have been appropriate for him to be doing the vengeance himself, similar like we saw by the Makos. So therefore, Moshe didn't go himself. Yishlachu sam Moshe. Moshe sent others to go. Okay, so then when they go attack the Midianim, so they're going to be killing Midianim, and the Torah tells them that they should vatem, it says in Pasuk Yates, atem chanu michutz l'machane shiv asemim, you stay out of the machane 7 days, kol harig nefesh v'chol negeh b'chalal, anyone who killed anyone or anyone who touched a dead body, tizchat to b'yam shishim b'yam shiyat to m'shvichim, you have to go through the paraduma. So, Rashi there says that you need to get sprinkled on with the paraduma, even though they were killing Goyim, and we say that there's no tumas mace by a guy, that's by an ohel, there's no tumas mace. Being in the same room, there are those that hold that there's no tumas mace by an akum. So there's no tumas ohel. But touching them, everyone agrees that if a person touches an akum, that they become tummy. So there's tumma by an akum, just perhaps not tumas ohel, meaning that being in the same room as a dead akum may not make you tummy, but touching them will. Everyone agrees that this tumas maga of touching by a mace of an akum, a mace of a guy. So why is that? How do you know? Because so it's supposed to be, why is there no tumas mace by ohel? After being in the same room as a guy, there's no tumma. Why is that? Because it says, Adam, Atem Kareem Adam, Veina Akum Kareem Adam. You're called Adam, not them. So that's Rashi, and quoting Chazal. But the Chizkuni asks, what do you mean? It says by Negiah also, the word Adam. So why does everyone agree by Negiah? It says by Negiah, V'chol Asher Yigal Pnei Asadeh, V'chol Al-Cherev O'Bemeis O'Be'etzem Adam. So you see, it's also Adam over there. So how come that's not doesn't exclude Nagia of Meiskai? Anyway, he answers because there's another pasuk that does not mention Adam. It just says V'hizal ha'ol v'anogia be'etzem o bechalal o be'meis o bekeva. It doesn't mention anything about Adam. So since there's another pasuk that doesn't say Adam, it comes to even include a guy. Okay, so they needed to become tar with the hazah of the paraduma. So this was mentioned to them by Melchemes Midyan, not stam when they go fight against the Shivas Amimim. So the reason is because by that, it was there's the Chizkuni gives in several reasons. One is, when the Jews fought against the Shiva Amimim, even if they all became Tami, it doesn't matter. There's a thing called Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, and it wouldn't have mattered. So they don't need to get sprinkled on by Paradumanus, at least not right away, because of Tumah. Well, I guess we say Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. So then it doesn't matter because they were all tummy. As opposed to this war with the Midianim, not everybody went. Only a select amount went to fight this war. So that's why here it has to tell you about becoming tummy. Second reason they need it, obviously, as we just said, they're going to be touching the guy that they killed. Okay, so that's another reason they'll need it. And thirdly, this is interesting. He says lefishenitmu b'hem Yisrael, because the Jews became tummy from Midian, as it says by Yitzmedu Yisrael b'apor, meaning they became tummy via doing avodah zarah in the past, and then therefore they'll need paraduma. And the last one is because maybe one of the Jews will be killed, and they'll become tummy from a Jew. What do you mean? It says lenifkan b'mena uish. What do you mean? Why would Hashem need? If that was the reason, they should all become tummy. Go through the paraduma because a Jew might be killed. So then, what do you mean? It says, lo nifken bimenuish. Nobody dies. Why would Hashem say that? So he answers, because it doesn't necessarily mean that. It may mean, lo nifken bimenuish ledvar avera. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, it says that that's not the way the Gemara explains. Lo nifken bimenuish meant that no one... Moshe had asked them, did you go back and continue to do averus? And he said, Klai Yisrael said, lo nifken b'menuish, meaning no one did any averus. Or Rashi says, lo nechzer midas Yehudas. But doesn't mean nobody died, according to that. So he said, that's why they had to be told about the paraduma here, because maybe a Jew would be killed. Okay, then we next have Elazar HaKohen, teaching them about how to kasher kelim. And so the Chizkuni says, since paraduma was given to Elazar, meaning the Kohen Gadol, so he explained it to Klal Yisrael, meaning to say part of this discussion of kasher and kelim also talked about them, meaning they also had to become tahar after they kashered it, so, and that talks about paraduma, so since that had to do with Elazar, that's why. Because the Kohen Gadol is involved with Paraduma, that's why it was given to Elazar Kohen. Rashi says something different. Rashi says because it was a punishment to Moshe that he got angry, so he forgot these halachas, I guess temporarily. Anyway, that's what the Chizkuni says. It's because he had shaychus to the Paraduma, which this talks about. However, he says it was wrong. He was being Mor Hara Lefnei Rabo, even though he said it in the name of Moshe. Still, he was Nanash, and that's why it says that this time he was, well, not this time, I say, whenever Yoshua was supposed to be asking Elazar Cohen questions that he can ask in the Urim V'Tumim, and we don't find that Yoshua ever needed him. So that was a punishment because he was Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbah, according to the Chizkuni. Okay, then after we find that they did what the Jews did what they needed to do, and they brought back the spoils, and they gave the correct amount to the correct people, and they said, "Vayimur Moshe avadecha nasu asrosh anshei hamilchama shebiyateinu v'lefka menuish," which we said meant that they didn't do an avera. Menakriv is karban Hashem asher matzak li zahava etzadav tamid lechaper nafsho seinu. So they brought the stuff as a carbon lechaper on their nefesh. So, what did they need a kapara for? So, Rashi says, "Midei avera yatzanu, midei hirhurim lo yatzanu." Even though they didn't do any avera, they had hirhurim of avera. They had thoughts of doing an avera. So Rashi's kind of hinting to it. It's more mafurish in the Gemara, like we said. Lanifkan menuish, no one did an avera. So what's the chapera called afshasenu? That they still had hirur. So the Chizkoni just asks, he doesn't know what hirur is shaykh over here. In other words, they thought about the Benos Midyan. So he says, it's not an avera, because there's a thing called Yafas Toar. Let's say they had thought about them. It's not hirur, it's not avera. They were mutter to be with the Bas Yisrael, with the Benos Midyan, if they want, it's called Yafas Toar. So he answers that the Yerushalmi says that there was no Het Yafas Toar until Achar Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so if that's true, so then it would be Hirur Avera. Otherwise, he doesn't know what the Hirur Avera is. Okay, there we have the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben wanting to live outside of Israel on the Eiver LeYarden, which Moshe allows, based on what Hashem says. But then, it's not just Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben. In Pasuk Lamikav, it's also Chatzi Shevet Menashe. So how did they get part of that? So the Chizkuni says they actually weren't interested in Nachla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Only Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuben are the ones who asked. They're the ones who wanted it. So why this is based on the Medrash, why is it that they got half outside? So he says because their father, Binyamin, great grandfather Binyamin, caused that the other Shvatim would have to rip their clothes when he took the Gevia, when he took that chalice. So he caused it that everybody would have to tear their clothes. Therefore, his nachla was torn over two places, Eiver Yarden and in Israel, which is like, Pella. Binyamin didn't take it on purpose. It was stuck in his bed and stuck in his stuff. And for that, his Yarshim should get an onus. It's hard to understand. But anyway, that's what he brings from him. Okay, now we have Parshas Maaseh. So he points out when you start talking about the Shvatim, so that would be Perek Lamed Dalid, and it's Pasuk Chaf, whatever, all those Pasukim that go after that. So it's List the Nasiim, some of them. These are the Shemos HaAnash Lamati Yehuda, Kalev Bin Yifuna. Doesn't call him a Nasi. That's what I mean. Doesn't call them all a Nasi. He mentions the name. Doesn't call them all a Yasi. So Yehuda doesn't get called a Nasi. It's just Kelev Bin Yifuna. Shimon doesn't get called a Nasi. Shmuel Ben Amiud. Binyamin, same thing. Elida Ben Kislon. Then you get to Bnei Dan, Nasi. Everybody else after that is Nasi. So how come the first bunch did not get called Nasi? So the reason that Chizkuni explains that it doesn't say Nasi by those first ones is because Kalev Ben Yifuna, he was a tzaddik from beginning to end, everybody knows it, so it didn't need to mention it. Binyamin, it says Elidad, and that was Eldad, he was also known for his tzidkus, and that's like a Navi. Or he says possibly because it would have eventually happened with Pelegish Begilva, he wasn't called a Nasi. And Shimon wasn't called the Nasi because of what happened with Zimri. And, that's it for that. And we have the thing about the Ari Miklat, that they built the Ari Miklat. There were 42 cities that acted as Ari Miklat. And there were six that acted as, that were just Ari Miklat, not Ari Halavim. The 42 cities of Ari Halavim that were counted as Ari Miklat, so those, the Chizkuni just explains the difference is that the 42, you could go in, you have to have in mind that you're going in there to be protected from the Gaul Adam, and you're in an Ari Miklat. The other Ari Miklat, even if you don't know where you are, they protect you. Okay, then we have that famous thing that why is it that there were three outside of Israel and three in Israel? There were 9.5 Shvatim in, right? So how could there be the equal amount? How could you need the same amount of Ari Miklat in Israel, when you only have a teeny amount of Shvatim outside of Israel, and the same amount of Ari Miklat? So Rashi says, because there were a lot of Rotschim over there, in the outside of Eretz Israel. And he says, Begilin Nefishich Rotschim. So, okay. So the Chizkuni asked the question that everybody asks, what does that have to do with anything? You go to Ari Mikut as a shogeg, right? So to say that there's a lot of murderers in Gila, that's not a reason to have more Ari Miklats, you would think. Ari Miklats are for people who act by accident. Okay, so the Chizkuni answers, yeah, but everybody goes to the Ari Miklat, 100%. If somebody kills someone else, so they have to run to the Ari Miklat, whether it was by accident or on purpose. And then Beis Din takes them from there to take him to trial. But everybody has to run to the Ari Miklat first, and therefore, since there were Rotschim in Gila, they needed more Ari Miklats around. Okay, then we have some of the halachas of killing by accident. It has to be, it's Derech Yerida, Vayipol Alav, and Pasuk Kaf Gimel has to be Derech Yerida, not Derech Aliyah, meaning you're pulling the axe down on someone, even though you didn't intend to, as opposed to throwing it back. And he says the reason is because people look in front of them, they don't look behind them, so therefore that's why it's got to be Derech Yerida. And then he stays in the Ari Miklat all the days of the Kohen Gadol's life. So why does he stay in the life of the Kohen Gadol? So I know what you've heard already. And the Chizkuni says, because the Kohen is really in charge of taking nekama for someone who doesn't follow Hashem's mitzvahs. Like the Pasuk says in Dvarim Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, Ve'isha Sharia Seb Zadon V'l'tishmo ala Kohen. You're supposed to listen to the Kohen. That's what he tells you. It's supposed to sound, it sounds like the rabbi, but the Kohen. If you don't listen to the Kohen, then and the Kohen is supposed to take action. So here, if somebody would see this guy leave an Ari Miklat, for whatever reason he would get out, people would say, look, there's the Kohen Gadol right there. He's not doing anything. And this guy gets out. So therefore, it has to be when the Kohen Gadol dies. So no one says, the Kohen Gadol should have done something. Okay, that's the end of that for this week.